supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Scratch the surface of Mars, and you may encounter a large lake of salt water. Let's dive in with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, liquid water?
And it'll be chilly, too. Yes, this is a large reservoir of water, approximately 12 miles wide, but maybe only as little as 3 feet deep, 1 mile beneath the South Polar Cap of Mars.
Oh, so that's a lot of scratching to get
down
to.
It is a lot of scratching, yes. And again, it'll be very cold and the pressure will be very high down there. But this certainly is an intriguing finding, at least to be able to identify, finally, a true reservoir of liquid water. So this is one of the steps along the way to identifying the correct environments at Mars where life might have been conducive, that this reservoir has been found, is not to say that, aha, we've now found the location where life will be identified. That's not the point at all. This is simply a step along the way in identifying that correct environment. After all, we're talking about a place where this liquid water is, again, a mile below the surface under great pressure and is very, very briny.
We'll add Mars then to the list of neighbors in our solar system that do have water, principally the moons around Jupiter and Saturn.
Again, what's most intriguing to me is that this now firmly places Mars, along with all of the other bodies of the solar system, where we now know that there is or has been water. So Earth is the obvious one. The other sort of counterintuitive one, of course, is the moon, where we've been able to identify quantities of frozen water in deep craters that are at the shaded portions of the planet near the poles that don't receive very much sunlight. But it's those moons of Jupiter and Saturn where we now talk about these frozen ice crusts underneath of which are liquid water oceans several miles deep. So that really does indicate that there have been and there could be still environments that are conducive. That is, given that we have the right mineral, chemical, and organic compound mix available, places where life could have developed at some point.
Devoid of photosynthesis.
Well, there is that, yes. We know that here on this planet, there are environments down at ocean floors, 35, 36,000 feet down, dark, cold, under great pressure, where we find very interesting and diverse life forms. So those locations on Earth are not really very much different from those locations at those moons so far out in our solar system.
You mentioned the moon. When Neil Armstrong first set foot, and actually for the duration of the Apollo program, was it known then that there was some water on the moon?
We were not aware that there was water on the moon at that time. These are new developments that have only come about because we've sent orbiting spacecraft to do very, very close surveys of the moon. If you look back on the lunar missions in which astronauts walked around on the surface of the moon, while they went to six different places, they actually covered an incredibly tiny percentage of the moon's surface. So, for all intents and purposes, by the time the Apollo missions were over in 1972, we still knew virtually nothing about the moon, really. But since then, having put several orbiters around the moon with very good detectors and cameras, we've been able to determine far more than we ever had been able to determine by sending astronauts to the moon. But it's just added to the incredible amount of information, knowledge, data that we have now about the moon.
Derek, in our time remaining, what's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
We have to talk about the planets that we're seeing in the evening sky. I've been pushing this all summer long for people to jump on the bandwagon and go out and take a look. They still look fabulous. However, time marches on. Venus itself is dropping lower and lower toward the western horizon after sunset. We don't have all that much long left to catch it along with the three other planets. So it's your first opportunity. When sunset comes, about 30 minutes later, far over on the western side, you'll find brilliant Venus. A little bit back to your left, towards the south, you'll catch the largest planet of the solar system, Jupiter. A little creamier in color, not quite as bright as Venus, but easy to identify nonetheless. Followed by Saturn, a little bit further to the south and to the east. also glowing, but even softer than Jupiter is. And last, but certainly not least, way over on the eastern horizon at about 11 p.m., is the reddish planet Mars. Rosy in color, actually, if you look very carefully. But this is a great time to look at Mars because it came to what's called opposition last Thursday. That means it has come into a position in which the Earth is directly between the Sun and the planet itself, so that the planet rises at sunset and sets at sunrise. We can see it all night long. And tomorrow, it comes to its closest approach to Earth over the last 2 years.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.